The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2013 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2013. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the internet. To find out more about ACCS, or to order additional conference talks, visit our website at accsedu.org. Look for the Conferences tab. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Okay, I think we can get started. My name is Phil Arendt. That's how I was told to pronounce my last name. As a matter of fact, I had a ACSI, I spoke at one of their conferences, did a workshop, 8 o'clock Saturday morning, three people showed up. It was fine. We had a nice time. Afterwards, one of the three came up to me and said, "The only reason I came to your workshop is because I have the same last name as you and I want to know how you pronounce it." So I was really down to two for my workshop. So anyhow, well, let's open our time in prayer. Introduce myself a little bit more and see what we can learn together with regard to the benefits of having a science fair in your schools. I do, Father, commit this time to you. I know that unless you build the house of what we're attempting to produce in our students, our labor is entirely in vain. So we're so indebted, so needful, so sinful, and so minuscule to some of the tasks that you give us that we continually look to your grace. This specific time, again, we lift up to your care. Ask you would bless any potential discussion, any help, be very practical. Encouragement, very necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I teach science last 14 years at Schaefer Academy up in Rochester, Minnesota. It's nice to be in a southern climate. You'll have to bear with my personality. I'm incredibly laid back, and I really prefer dialogue over monologue. So my hope is to share what we do at Schaefer Academy. My hope is maybe within the first half of our time slot, maybe I'll drone on a little bit longer with the hopes to find out from some of you what you're doing or not doing yet. By the way, if you could look around and see if there's someone else from your school, could you raise your hand to give me an idea how many schools are represented here? If someone else is from your school, only one of you raise your hand. Sorry, I just want to get a rough idea. And now, how many, how should I say this, what would be best? How many are not currently at all doing anything with science fair? Okay, there are a few. Okay, I just want to have an idea. Are there any, here's a real big one, are there any administrators here? Awesome. I wish I could do all administrators, at least first. So anyhow, maybe you're getting where I'm going at with that. So, sometimes I think I'm not as much of a scientist as I am as somebody who just keeps sticking my nose into things, because that's really how I got involved with science fair, is I just said, this sounds good, and we're going to stick my nose into this and see. The slides I'm going to show you, I don't know how conducive these are to this audio recording, because I want to show you some forms that we use, etc., some what I call practics of science fair that we do to see how that compares and maybe stimulates some thoughts on your part, but I'll do my best. The very beginning of the presentation is something I want to dwell on mostly, a little bit of the encouragement of the benefit. There are handouts in the back as well that we'll get to at the end. If you don't have them now, I'll talk about the handout at the end. And then at the very end, I want to get more specific of what we do at Schaefer Academy. So one of the most important things that as far as the benefit of science fair is an opportunity which labs and demonstrations and activities as well hope to highlight for a student science experience is what I would call the subjectivization of science. That what I mean by subjectivization, that the student can now, the subject, become the subject who's doing the studying, is the subject who is now finding out for themselves. And I think this is one of the biggest benefits of science fair. So often in the labs that I do, in my classes, the students don't get this opportunity. The ceiling is on top of them, and they can't go beyond trying to produce what I want them to produce. With science fair, they can choose a phenomena of their interest, change something about it, and actually investigate and see what happens. So I was sold on science fair. I began to put my nose into things. Unfortunately, I found quite a mountain out there waiting for me, as I'm sure some of you have experienced. And thankfully, I had an administration behind me that says, this is what we want you to do, and we'll do what we can to help you see this out. If you recall, the neighbors of the woman at the well whom Jesus ministered to, they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And Apostle Paul, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, this subjectivization of God's truth, so it becomes conviction, it becomes my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. One of my favorite contemplations out of Psalm 34. You know, it's really good that I'm learning this, but oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Again, this personal conviction, this personal doing, this personal expression, I think is very vital for our students. If at some time in their education experience, they can have an opportunity in some form or another, science fair or in some other capacity, to be actually doing, being the one who's doing. The sixth law of learning about, producing and reproducing what you have invested in you is very vital to the learning process. Student independence now with the science fair is very important in the struggle of the dialectic, the struggle of learning, trying to figure something out, trying to use your understanding, trying to use your skills to find out how something works. The struggle to discover, how can I put together the ability to understand the principles of the scientific method, to put together a viable experiment. If your students do not understand how to put together your variables, your control, how to utilize the scientific method in a way that maximizes objectivity in their results, that's really a goal that we should have to be able to provide for our students when they traipse out the doors of our school to their next experience in life. To be able to recognize when a scientific study, is faulty in some of the how an experiment should be put together. The ability to they themselves, this is their independence, it's now the sixth law of teaching, that they can reproduce what you have shown them, that they have the ability to perform inductive reasoning. They can make observations, and from those draw a conclusion. They are able to make observations, and from that to draw their own conclusion, which they can now explain and they can defend. We at Schaefer Academy tie into the regional science fair again in the southeast Minnesota. I started sticking my nose, like I tend to do, into that, very intimidated by what lay out there. And so we sent about three or four or five students to regionals, and then the next year a few more, and oh, I see how it works. And then we'd do something wrong or something that show us we didn't have the right forms for the, oh, now I see what you do. And over the years, we had more success and more success, and finally the school district came to me and asked me to chair the private school on the committee to be able to encourage other private schools in southeastern Minnesota to come and attend the regional science fair. And that has been a nightmare. But we can get to something else. So that's the real important point of being sold on the benefit. And we'll talk more about that later. What I want to do now is to scurry through something. I don't want to frustrate you of some of what I call the practices, the crossing the T's and the dotting the I's that are necessary to make sure that the student is doing something that's safe, that's not invasive of someone's privacy or any copyright things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you just can't traipse in, have them do a project and be done with it. If you do want to tie into something greater, which I would encourage, because in the greater world of regional, state, and national science fair, there is some good requirements of science that our students should be aware of. If they are to appreciate some of the care that needs to be taken in these areas of safety, etc. Schaefer Academy follows Intel's ICEF, the International Science and Engineering Fair requirements. So because our regional fair follows these requirements, we as a school in-house, we have an in-house science fair that I'll talk a little bit about, we follow these same requirements on the students. Even students that do not go to regionals have to follow ICEF's rules. Now, there are other fairs available. All I'm doing is I'm laying before you our constraints posed by ICEF as a little benchmark for you. Siemens is another science fair that could be tied into. And what intrigues me, has anyone ever heard of the Google Science Fair or tried? It's an entirely online. I don't know if smaller schools, I'm a little intrigued by it, if smaller schools would instead want to investigate those all online, just Google the Google and find out about these other opportunities. But just so that you know, I'm going to come from the vantage of what we do with ICEF rules. So let's just sort of start from the beginning, from the student's vantage. The biggest thing, perhaps many of you in dealing with your students, is to determine a project idea. It's nice, though, that now you can encourage a student to consider their interests and then take your interest in the phenomena that you might be interested. Okay, change something and see what happens. It's always a nice idea, change something and see what happens. In the handout you have, I do have listed sciencebuddies.org. Is anyone very familiar with sciencebuddies.org? And maybe in our discussion time at the end, you could let me know, I'm going to be all ears, of any other websites that you found. This is just so helpful. The best one I've found so far is sciencebuddies.org, and I do have the privilege of going online here. So at the end, when I go over a couple things, we'll take a look at that website, sciencebuddies.org. Secondly, ICEF requires, and so do we, that the students develop a research plan. This is sort of the initial effort of putting together their problem, hypothesis, their procedures, bibliography, their resources, and then possibly, if there are some safety issues to be addressed. This is the form for a research plan, and I don't know how to zoom in here, but just so you can see that you can't see, but there's an ABCD. How good are your eyes? The ABCD is, and they attach their research plan behind this form. Their question, their hypothesis, C is their procedures, D is their bibliography, and that's the greatest percentage of them, that's all that they have to do. Well, if they choose to work with humans, which a lot of them are intrigued to, one, two, three, vertebrate animals, potentially hazardous biological agents, those are bacteria, if they're going to, you know, see if the restroom has more bacteria than a dog's mouth or something, I don't know. And then any hazardous chemicals, some of my students want to come in and work with acids and things like that. Then these four have to be addressed especially. And again, I'm going to be going through these practices a little quicker. If I show you any form or any idea of anything that you particularly want to ask questions about, I'll go back to that slide. So please, I apologize if I'm going to go through some of the practices a little quickly. We require our students to do a research paper. This must include an abstract. What's an abstract? Tell my students it's just a paragraph or two of what you did, what you found out. The abstract is written when you are finished with your experiment, you've drawn your conclusions. An abstract is one or two paragraphs of what you did and what you found out. ICEF has a form for that. ICEF has a form for everything. So, and I'll show you some of those. Table of contents, they have to list, again, what's your problem you're going to solve? What's the question you're going to try to find out? What's your hypothesis? List some of your variables, controls, dependent, independent variables, etc. Then give us some background. Do a little research and find out what you can find out about what you're doing. Materials, procedures, your data, include your graphs, your tables, give a conclusion which answers your question, ideas for further research, thank anyone who helped you, and again, bibliography. So again, if you're working hard writing these down, I'd be glad to come back to this slide if you want. But this is what I require for their research paper. Some students can do this in 5, 6, 8 pages, and that's their research paper. And they have, ICEF has requirements for what should be on the title page and everything. But again, these are all online. Everything I'm doing perhaps is all online. But at least I'm presenting these to give you an opportunity, again, to dialogue with us. I hope we have a good opportunity. This is ICEF's abstract form. This is where the student will put their abstract. They have to give a category that somehow got chopped off. Biochemistry, chemistry, they choose one of the categories, and then a few questions about where that was experiment was performed, things like that. Display board. We require all our students to do a display board. Some students as well go on to regionals and do a paper at regionals, but the vast majority of our students will do a display board where they have to lay out the scientific method, put their abstract title and lay it out in a very nice way, and then they have to stand up before the class, present, not looking at the board when they're talking, learning how to present to a crowd is there's your rhetoric, very important. Thing I like about their display boards is it's a great integration of disciplines. Artistic design, they get taken off if something doesn't look appealing. The logical flow of things and how they lay things out, it's such a good integration. How they compose succinctly what they want to say, it's difficult to keep those who want to say everything to be very succinct. From this, then they learn how to present from this sort of tool. Do your students know how to present from this sort of tool to a to a class to be able to refer to it, explain, etc. Field questions, defend if someone says, I don't know about that. To graph properly, to be able to use, Excel or something to put a very professional graph, to understand the axes, to understand what it's doing so that you can explain it to somebody who asks about your graphing using the scientific method. Obviously, a lot of these are experiments will be conducted at home. We've had kitchen drapes on fire. You know, it's just what the student brings home with you. But the student and parent working together, the ICEF has a student checklist where they put their name, their title, the school, where they're going to perform, when they start, just very basic information. But perhaps more importantly is an approval form that the student and the parent have to both sign. And I explain to the students, this is you saying that me signing this says I understand everything that's going on as far as safety and whatnot, and I'm fine with it. The parent signing said, I know what my son or daughter is doing, anything, and I'm fine with it. I understand if there's any risks involved. And if there are certain risks involved, then we go lower on the form, and we have to take, this project has to go to a committee that the regional science fair folk in southeast Minnesota provide some scientists at certain nights at certain middle schools, and our students have to go there with their project to get a scientist to sign off on their project. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But again, don't want to overwhelm you, but these are some of the things that you say, oh, you know, yeah, you know, so-and-so is a parent, and they work in the scientific field. They might be a good person who could be on a committee to take a look at the safety of this and sign off and et cetera, not necessarily on ICEF's forms, but generate your own forms. The teacher, some of you, is designated by ICEF to be the adult sponsor. Let me just go through some of the responsibilities of the teacher. The teacher has to make sure that the student is informed of ICEF rules. So there is a PDF online. You can get all of ICEF rules. Makes for a good read. Is aware of risks, aware of what forms are required. There's only a mandatory about four forms. It's not unmanageable. If you want to get into hazardous sort of situations, there are more forms. Will receive proper supervision during experiment, and if required, if you traipse into some of these other areas of study, sees that the project is submitted to, and for ICEF, an International Review Board, an IRB, if you're involving humans, or a Scientific Review Committee when you're involving hazardous substances. In the Rochester area, we combine these two, just one committee. If you're working with humans or something hazardous, you go and show your project to that committee of scientists, and they'll either say, you're not going to be able to do it that way, you're going to have to do it this way, and you're going to need a qualified scientist. You got to do that in a research, you know, things like that. For the teacher, there's a checklist for adult sponsor that you check off that, yeah, I've looked things over. And notice here again, humans, vertebrate animals, biological agents, hazardous chemicals. Those four are the big no-nos, just to traipse ahead without anyone of some scientific background to be able to look things over for safety's sake. Let me go through the four real quickly. Again, number one, human participants. My students love this. I tell them, you might not consider doing that because you got to go through all these. No, I want to, you know, the peripheral vision of humans and what affects that. This other thing that humans do, tweak it, see what affects that. You know, drinking caffeine or something and how that affects your vertical jump, or, you know, just very, you know, and this is fascinating because humans, you can really do a lot in that. So my students, perhaps you have the same experience, love to do, you know, music things with humans or whatever. Well, okay, if that's what you really want to do, you're going to have to go to the SRC IRB meeting. It happens these three nights in October, and you got to show them what you're going to do. You're going to fill out the forms, and you have to do this. But I really okay. This is your human participants form, asking questions from ICEF, and sometimes the committee will determine that you have to give a consent form to every one of the humans that you're going to do this experiment with. You mean all 72 of them? Yes. Every 72 of them has to sign off on this form. You're going to have a pretty fat wad of paper when you hand in your project. Real quickly, form for if you're going to work with vertebrate animals. We had one student do a rat through a maze sort of thing, and potentially hazardous biological. They like this. They like to grow bacteria. So they have to fill out this, take their project to the committee, et cetera. Hazardous chemicals, any equipment, any addictive drugs, you know, a vacuum pump with cigarettes, putting them through a filter, measuring the what's picked up on the filter, whatever, the DEA, prescription drugs, alcohol, tobacco, firearms. Some of my students who live in more rural areas love to do things with firearms. I even went and helped a student with a firearms experiment, anything with radiation. And then there's this risk assessment form for some of the fourth ones. So that's really quick, and it's intentionally very quick, but I'm very willing to go back through anything that you'd like me to go back to. So as a matter of fact, how are we doing?
Is all of that on the ICEF?
Yes. Yes. And I think I'll be able to show you the website for that as well. It might even be on your handout. I'm not sure. We'll go over that handout. You don't have to go by ICEF. Knowing what ICEF does, I think, would be helpful. If you want to implement things and only do things in-house at this time, you're doing nothing now, you don't want to bother with jumping through all the hoops of going out of house with your science fair. If you want to keep everything in-house, maybe for a few years to get things settled down, just keep ICEF forms around to say, okay, ICEF requires this. We're going to adapt that. We're going to put these two form requirements onto one form. Parents and students have to sign, you know, and come up with your way to track, to make sure that nobody did not realize what this experiment was going to potentially do. You know, burn down the curtains in your kitchen. So, and this is. I almost get choked up. I had a daughter. I hope she never hears this thing. I had a daughter who struggled through school the whole way. She did a science fair project. I think it was one that she had nails, and the sheer duration of nails, you know, compared to temperature. So she would clamp the nail on my vise in the basement, take a vice grip and bend it and count how many times it takes before the nail breaks. And then she did that at different temperatures just to see what bridges you could apply it to that. She went to regionals, won a cash award of $200, okay? Never really did that well in school. She comes home and my wife says, Natalie, how did you do in science fair? And she won a couple medallions too. She said, I won this and I won this. And then I won this also, and she pulled out two $100 bills. Wish I had that on video. Choke them. Okay. What we do at Schaefer Academy, this is what we've settled at. My hunch is within a few years this will change, because it keeps changing. What I like to say is, we are a becoming school. We are not a final school. In 7th, 9th, and 11th grade, we do science fair. In 8th, 10th, and 12th grade, the kids don't. They do history fair. So it's a major project that they have to do. We start out with in-classroom presentations, so everyone one at a time has to get their board, put it up in front of the class, and present just to their class, and everyone has to do that. Then we select a few projects, and those few projects, maybe half a dozen, maybe more, present to the entire secondary in the gym. And then we also have an open house to the public. So we will set up tables in our commons and set up all the projects. The students have to stand next to their projects, and friends and family come, and it's an open house. We have been doing this in the evening. We haven't had an open house for the last 2 years. Can anyone guess why? What's that? I'm old. That's always something you have to steer around in the evening, particularly athletic activities. We're changing it now to be in the afternoon during a school day. Athletic activities are hard to steer around. No, we had a snowstorm both evenings the last 2 years, and the activities are so complex that we could not postpone. We had to cancel 2 years in a row. Some of you might know that on May 2nd this year, we had 15 inches of snow. I have my son lives in Louisiana with a clan down there. And I told them, yeah, when they asked me about Rochester, well, in Rochester, we have 9 months of winter and 3 months of bad sled. So we had two of them. Sorry, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to them. So now we have a deadline schedule, so it's not so horrible for our students. On the back of your handout is what I'm starting to put together for next year's schedule. This is this last science fair schedule. So notice that I have them do an approval form, which you see on the front of your handout. That's due around the beginning of October. And the very beginning of the school year, I start pestering them to get ideas. I point them to websites. Then by the 15th, 16th, 17th, they're starting to complete these research plans or other things. They hand those in to me, and I look them over. And then adult sponsor, that's me. Finally, by the end of October, it's my job to check things over and complete my form. That's my form. Now, they're ready to experiment, unless they're working with humans, vertebrates, microorganisms, or hazardous substances. Then they have to go to SRC IRB meetings. And I would list here at Kellogg Middle School in Rochester or John Adams Middle School, there'll be scientists there from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and you got to go there and show them your experiment. And so there are different dates. I don't have them listed there, and I write down when the dates are and the time and where it is. Now you can begin your experiment. You're not allowed to begin it until all the T's have been crossed and all the I's have been dotted and we're all set. I asked them to do a data log book, so they have a little notebook of some sort that every day they write down what they do. Then they're finished. Now their abstract form should come in beginning of December. And now by the end of December, our open house, you see in January, we're moving that before the Christmas break. So we're shifting things around, trying to work around sporting events, etc. And then are you advancing to regionals? With us, it's optional. We have maybe about 120 students partaking. Usually we send about 30 or 40. No, there's probably 90 or so, I'm thinking of, all the way down. About a third of them will attend regionals. I tell them if your experiment did not give any results, well, then you don't go to regionals. But other than that, I encourage even the projects that didn't, just so they have the experience of having to defend and explain what they've done in a foreign setting with these judges that come by and grill them on their results, et cetera. So, yes. I do encourage that, but I do not require it. So if they're one of my 11th grade physics students, I'll encourage them to possibly use even some of our equipment that we have in class, or a lot of opportunities here. But if they want to do something life science, then I want to subjectivize this experience as much as I can. If they have a passion in something, then that's the where you go. My athletes in my class, I try to nudge them towards something that has to do with their passion is. And rather than just mindless things, we don't allow things like how long the batteries last, no consumer report things, how much water can diapers hold, or you know, things like that. I don't let them do any consumer comparison things. I want them to take a phenomena and then change something. What do you mean? Take any phenomena that you can think of that you're interested in. Okay, now where are your variables? Change one of the variables and see what happens. That's discovery. That's something that's hypothetical thinking. What if? What if I do this, what's going to happen? And I tell them they're not allowed to do it. What I tell them is if you can't graph it, don't do it. It's got to be measurable. If you can't graph it, don't do it. This is how I evaluate. Guaranteed, this is going to change. This is another thing in flux that I'm trying to put together a rubric. You can kind of see, did they follow the scientific method, creativity, challenge, completion, their display board, their abstract research, how did they present? And this is really in flux, so don't hold me to this. I've changed it so many times, and I'm just not a very satisfied person, if you get to know me. Yes?
Is this your grading rubric or your judgment?
How do you distinguish between those? Really? Yeah, this is basically a mush of those two, a grading rubric and a judging rubric. But again, I want a dialogue here, and I'm fascinated with what some of you are doing. And I'm the kind of person who is never offended if you point to something and you say, that is not helpful. So, because I want to get things to improve. Yes? Well, what I periodically do, and maybe at the very, very beginning of the school year, we devote a couple class periods to it. And then I let them go, so to speak. And then I might give about 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, until we get up to due dates. Now, next week, Monday, you have to have at least your best shot at an idea. Okay, and then I might even poke at them. So I become a nag after that somewhat. And when they come to me and say, I have no idea what to do, I don't listen to that. That's basically telling me that I don't want to think about this, Mr. Arendt. I want you to think about it for me. So I don't accept that. I want to find out, well, Mr. Arendt, I've tried this and it doesn't work, and I've looked online, like you said, and it doesn't. Okay, now you're helping me here, and now we can work together. Have you considered this? Then I'll try to give a little help, but that is one of the many nightmares that I want to try to reduce is getting a good idea. So as far as advancing to out-of-house fairs, we are involved in the Rochester Regional Science Fair. We began very small with just a few students, now maybe about 30 or so. And maybe two or three, we only had one this year, two or three will actually advance to the state level. We've had as much as maybe five advance to the state level a competition, and we have had no one ever advance to nationals. So that's our history thus far. Yes? Yes. That's just regional. That's just regional. That's the nice thing about our regional situation is students have Mayo Clinic is in Rochester, so there are a lot of scientists. IBM has a good footprint in Rochester. So they have to have scientists that come through as judges, ask them about it. And again, one of the benefits of science fair is you have to defend what you've done. And you have to field questions you have never thought of before. That's a big challenge for a student. That's something that I do not like to do myself. And that's why I don't particularly like sitting on panels, which I have to do later today. It's just that I like to say, could you give me a half hour? I'll get back to you on that. But the students have to bang, have to be able to understand what they've done well enough to be able to defend it. So getting started, even those of you who have science fair, maybe you'd see this could be helpful. We have to realize the value. Individualizing, subjectivizing science, the love of learning, an integration of disciplines, oral presentation, the rhetoric, defending understanding, the dialectic, it's all in the package. And yes, there's a lot of headaches to go through with, again, crossing the T's and dotting the I's that are required, but I've become convinced that it's worth the cost. I'm blessed to have administration who's on board that has a notion of how much work I have to do to accomplish this. So they're accommodating. And that's what I do around the Rochester Regional. I go to teachers and I say, this would be great, mostly at Catholic schools in the area. For me, it's fruitless. I have to talk to the administration and get them on board before that Catholic school will come to the Rochester Regional Science Fair and participate. It's gotta really be sold there. Becoming knowledgeable in the requirements, just three resources. One is there is a PDF, ISAF. You can either print it out or look it over. Science Buddies, I'll take a look at it real quick. And then if you'd want, you can go to our Rochester Regional Science Fair website and look over what we're doing. Fitting a science fair now to your school, this sciencebuddies.org, it's good to introduce students to that. It's a great resource that I've found. Establish incremental due dates like I've shown you on the back of your handout sheet. Establish a rubric for project evaluation. Enlist parents with scientific vocations or backgrounds to help with overview and judging. Establish school open house, not mandatory, but I think it's a great idea where students can show off what they've done to friends and family. Let me quickly show you. There it is. This is sciencebuddies.org. And again, I think some of you raise your hand to say that you're familiar with that. It's just a wealth of resources for project ideas. You can go into different areas that a student can look here and say that I'm really interested in physics here or sports science, etc. Then you can go into that link and it'll show you for anywhere from elementary school level up to advanced ideas, and this can get a student thinking there. So it's good for ideas. Project guide is just excellent. Getting started through the scientific method, your question, what about what you do with a laboratory notebook, background information, research, experimental procedures, has ICEF project guide, goes over ICEF requirements, it links into ICEF, shows you some, perhaps even some of the forms, the SRC, safety, the Scientific Review Committee, reference materials. You can even talk and ask questions to experts. All that I'd say is go ahead and go to sciencebuddies.org and look around, because this even has great evaluating rubrics as well to evaluate your students' projects, perhaps lots better than what I'm doing right now. This is supposed to go on, what is another 15 almost minutes? What I'd would like to do is if you have questions Or I would really be blessed if you could be bold enough to tell me what you're doing, how it's different, or any challenges you have, and et cetera. And the worst I could say is, I don't have a clue. Yes. Yes. In K through six, we do have some science fair opportunities at Schaefer. I think we do it at fourth grade and sixth grade. I'd recommend K through six to have everything entirely in classroom, and that's what we do. There is a science fair through Mayo Clinic that goes down to sixth grade that we have not tapped into, but I would, in those grades, give the student the project and take the student by the hand to teach them the scientific method of how to go about doing a project. I love it if students can come into my upper level classes and they understand in an experiment what the control is, what the independent variable is, that's the cause, that's what you're doing, and what the dependent variable is, that's the consequence that depends upon the what you're tweaking, what you're changing. If I could have a fourth grader understand that, the science fair that you've done is so worthwhile, just to get an idea of independently doing something to find a result. I have very low expectations, but very vital expectations for science fair at those levels. Any opinions? Yes.
The schools that I've worked at.
I teach secondary, so I have little ideas, but I've never tried them out.
They've worked in different ways, just depending on who's in charge of the science fair. Normally, it's not actually the science teacher, it's a parent.
Uh huh.
The amount of work that's involved.
Yes. Very good.
So some years they've done it where each class will have a project, and that class will do something that night. It's not like they're doing other stuff and
right.
Planning on it. It's where they're actually engaging other students.
Right.
And so the school kids will go all around the school visiting the different classrooms, and the parents along with them interacting in those different activities that each class has chosen to have it on.
Yeah.
That's what they did one year. Another year, they let the students choose their own things, but rather than having a presentation at the elementary level,
right.
They had the kids actually doing it with people, so it'd be a short project.
Right, but did they have them, somebody in third grade, some students stand up and tell everybody about what they did?
With the older kids, like the fifth and sixth grade level, the students would be explaining
right.
What they went through. With the younger kids, it would depend. Sometimes they would make something that they would give to people, so there would be an explanation. The kids would be able to tell you, because they'd be doing it,
right.
Either with their parents, most of the time it was with their parents.
Right.
But if it would just depend on how shy the kids were. Sometimes
right.
They just do it for you,
right.
Or let you do it, and you could ask them questions.
Right.
But, yeah, it would just depend on the comfort level of the kids, what they do.
Excellent. Yes.
Our pre-K is also participating, and we do it as a class, pre-K through second grade.
Wow.
We do it as a class.
Yeah.
It's just the experience. We give them both the vocabulary.
Good.
We talk about the scientific method, and it's a fun experiment of some kind.
Right.
We do start our third graders with independent, but I guide them. I mean, I hand feed them all the way through sixth grade.
Yeah.
And they have to defend their project.
Right.
They're graded differently from our upper grade, of course.
Yeah.
But we do have a scientist come in.
Good.
Children,
the scientist is a parent, perhaps, or just someone that you know in the community?
I know that's a scientist.
Yeah.
And she comes in, because I didn't want a parent.
Yeah.
That's another story.
Right, yeah.
And we tried that. Not a good idea. The third graders, like I said, third through sixth, everyone will stand in front of their project, and my friend who's the scientist will come in, and I mean, she just fires
yeah.
with questions.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, my younger grade students did far better than the middle school students.
Right.
They, I don't know, once they get a little older, they think too much about how they look or how they never want to look too geekish. Whereas the younger students, they love being geeks. I mean, that's what they're, you know, they love showing off. They really do.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful experience.
Yes.
And my hope is by just doing this, starting with our pre-K students, that by the time they get to high school,
well, I'd love a third grader to realize that science isn't just finding out from somebody, that science can be discovery, and to have a third or fourth or fifth grader explain what they did to the class, I think has phenomenal benefit. So was there someone else who had a, yes, yeah. Right. Yeah. Great, because I'm open. I'm a little bit responsible for elementary grades, but obviously my whole focus is on seventh grade up. So yes, way in the back.
Stand up so you can hear me.
Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Definitely. We want to make it enjoyable and not too stressful at that age. You don't want to have something. Yes.
I just was wondering, so do I understand you do require that every student in those grades, like it's not an option?
Exactly. For in-house 7th, 9th, and 11th grade must do a science fair project and must present in front of their class minimally. And we had one student who had handicap with speaking, and she still got up there. You couldn't hardly hear a word she said, but she did a good job and was able to, you know, if she can do it, you know, all your fearful, intimidated social students, they can do it, and you can think of ways to help them. Yes.
For all the people who do science fairs, how are the grades incorporated into your quarterly grades and your final? I can see it, you have a checklist.
Yes.
There's probably things you're grading along the way. How
well, and again, it's changed for me. I can tell you what I do, and it's very simple, and you'll say, what? All I do is I have a final grade that they have for their entire project, and it's worth two exams, and I just put it on their report card. And does anyone else do anything that you think is really helpful, how you take the grade from their science fair project and add it into their overall science grade for that quarter, semester, or whatever? Yep, that's one way to do it, just assign a percent, and you can do the math. Yes?
I do points in my class, but I'll give maybe 10 points, and say, put that for me, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they'll run research, and you'll give me maybe 25 for a rough draft, and 100 points for
right.
A paper itself, and then I usually give them 100 or so.
Yeah. Well, just by your saying that, too, I realize that our plates are full, and science fair can pose just an additional weight upon your responsibilities. That's why I think it's important that you have the administration on board to realize the scope of your work that's involved, or else you can somehow delegate to parents to help somehow. But I want for the teachers, the science fair, not to be, oh, no. You know, I've got to have 42 projects evaluated by such and such a date, and that's, you know, it's hard for the teacher. Yes.
I'm very blessed that I came in just knowing that the science is going well.
Very good.
She helps with the pre-prol presentations for the practice of class so that it's not on the science. But the grading aspect, we have roughly a month of science writing for two test grades.
Yeah.
Because it's so large.
Yeah.
So much effort.
Yes.
And as a result, we also slow down a little bit with the science class.
Right. 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 You'll have to maybe speak up for others.
Yes, in relation to grading, and I think what you were saying, sharing the responsibilities across with the English department last year, but I guess a question for you, like on this schedule,
yes.
Where they turn in their research plan,
yes.
Is that simply
Do you want me to be honest in my answer?
I don't know how you handle it because
I go check, it's been done. I mean, I look over to make sure all the components were there, but I have so many hats. I have more hats that I wear than, well, maybe not than any of you, but than a lot of people do in their vocation. And so there's only so much of me and so much time that I have. And so I look over and make sure they have the components. But what I do stew over is this form on the bottom. I do stew over their project idea. And I will not sign this and give it back to them. That means start over. I will sign it, and then I'll write a bunch of comments that this is fine, but you're going to have to change this, 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 and this to have this be viable. So this is the form I probably stew over more. And then, more towards the end, obviously I'll stew over their research paper and things like that. But so that's the best honest answer I can give. I'm very limited in my energy. Yes? Uh-huh. What tab would that be? Yes.
And there are...
Yep, see, who are you? And student, parent, and teacher. So the student would probably just go, who are you, and student, and get all...
And there are PDF handouts for every stage of their project.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
And teachers, there are rubrics for every stage of the project.
Yes.
So schedule,
yes. Wow. So my, yeah. Yes. The rubrics for grading are excellent here. Question, bibliography, et cetera.
Yes, there are rubrics for everything already made.
Yes, and they can go and look at those. Yeah. So my only question to you is, why aren't you doing this workshop, is what I... So, why am... Oh, okay, well, that, yeah. Yeah, well, when I started, we're out of time, and I know you're probably hungry. When I started at Schaefer, I taught all seventh... I mean, I taught all the students. I evaluated over 100 projects. And I was the walking dead. My wife knew when, but now it's much better. I brought others along, and you just have to learn how to do that. So thank you so much. And I have my email on the bottom of the sheet, too, if you're confused, if I can help at all. If you want me to send you any form or anything like that, it should all be online, but feel free to email me. Just say who you are, that you were at this workshop and stuff. So great. Thank you.
Yes.
If I were to go to your website, would that be one for the history?
Nope, this is the Rochester. This is not Schaefer. That's a Rochester Regional. This is the public schools that we tied into in Rochester.
Oh, all right.
And so as far as History Day Fair, you can always email me, and I can have one of our history teachers let you know. As a matter of fact, Rainey Phillips, which is here, she had to present, is here at the conference. She's the one who heads up our history fair.
Okay, great.
So it's
great. Thank you.
Yes.